The New Hampshire Now program is proudly presented by Carter Hill Orchard. Pick your own apples at Carter Hill Orchard. This is New Hampshire Now, 1450 and NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by ARP New Hampshire, as well as the Concord Food Co-op. And this segment of the show, that's brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. That's who I trust to call for all my plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and electrical needs. I encourage you to experience the Paradigm Shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. It is Wednesday, which means it is time to talk with my friend Steve Labby, the owner of Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Steve, how are you?
Good morning, Chris. Doing fantastic.
How was your Columbus Day weekend?
Oh, it was so good. I did a little bit of, fishing. I sound like a broken record on this show. Fishing and some hunting, and I had a really, really fun time.
Where'd you fish?
Ended up fishing in two places, Milan, which is up in Washington. And it was pretty funny because they drained the pond. So when we got there, the boat launch was like, just 60 feet away was the water. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't drive the back of the boat. So we had to drag the boat in mud and sludge. And I don't know, it was dark. And it felt like maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And it was so funny because I love fishing so much, I didn't even care. I'm like, wow, there's the pond. It's loaded. I've never been fishing here. This is exciting. But I will tell you this, that by the end of the day, because of there was so much wind, that our batteries died. And because of all the pulling of the boat and, all the strenuous of rowing back because our battery died from Willard Pond, I'm like going, this isn't really relaxing, but what an adventure.
We've talked about that. A lot of times, we have these plans set up and these perfectly laid out plans of this is what's going to happen then now, and that's what's going to happen next, and this is the time that we're going to do everything. And to me, particularly if you have a pretty structured work environment, one of the best things you can do is to not really plan out everything when you're on vacation or you're, on the weekend. And yeah, that's what we did on Sunday. Liam and I biked on the Franconia Notch Trail and took in some of the foliage with the entire state of Massachusetts. Was glad to see everybody up here from the Bay State.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I knew that was going to happen.
And there's a lot of people. Not on the bike trail, though. I am amazed. The bike trail is very tough. I mean, it's in the Franconia Notch, the mountains. So, but I've done it a couple times now, and there's very few individuals that bike this trail. And it's one of the best, it's challenging, as I said, but it's one of the best trails because of the views. You're alongside the Pemigewasset River. You go past Profile and Echo Lake. And so that was great. But we decided to go back kind of a roundabout way to try to avoid our friends from Massachusetts. And we ended up at Frost Place, which is Robert Frost's home and farm in Franconia, and it says R. Frost right on the mailbox, which is a cool picture. And then it was closed, as is everything during COVID, pretty much, from a tourist attraction standpoint. But we went and we sat on Robert Frost's porch. One of those things again where I wasn't sure I was supposed to do it, but it was there. Why not? And so we, for those who are not aware, Robert Frost is dead and has been dead for almost 50 years. So it's not, I was not, actually almost 60 years. So it's not, he was not home at this point, and it is a museum. Anyway, so we went and we looked out, and what a beautiful view of Franconia Notch. And this was a different, so used to going through on the, in the notch itself. But going around on the backside of the notch was pretty. It was pretty cool. It was a different take. There were some biplanes which were taking off and gliders, which I didn't realize were there. That might be something I do in the future. Liam has opted out and is trying to talk me out of doing that. But it looked pretty cool to me. And we also stopped at Beaver Pond on the way back, which was a beautiful spot. And you know, as to quote Robert Frost, sometimes, you know, it is best to take the road less traveled. And, you know, you come to those two paths, and which one are you going to take? And to me, a lot of times it's just best to explore and to enjoy and to figure things out.
Yeah, no, I love exploring it. That's one of the things about, you know, going into the woods is that you're just looking for creatures and you're looking for, you know, the different species of plants and trees and see a little salamander. And, you know, it's all kinds of fun, little neat adventures in the woods that you get to escape reality, you know. I mean, reality meaning like our day-to-day grind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really relaxing, and there's something really refreshing about being in the woods and something that captures all of your imagination, your thoughts, and your, you know, it's always better when it's a nice day. You know, like Columbus Day, I don't know about you, but, I mean, I could have done with a little bit less wind. You?
Yeah, there was a lot of wind
just on, a little less, just
on Columbus Day.
Less wind. Like, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was beautiful, but windy, and it was... You know, on Sunday morning in the White Mountains, it was pretty cold, as well as would be, you know, expected. But yeah, the conditions were very picturesque through Columbus Day weekend. But yeah, it was a little windy, a little cold as well. A little bit past peak in terms of the foliage up in the White Mountains at this point. But you know, you get down. And that means, you know, kind of 2,000 feet and above. But you get down, like, on the trails or around some of the waterfalls and in the, you know, the basin and tourist attractions and stuff. And the foliage still really good in there at the lower elevation. It seems like peak is kind of more in the Plymouth area at this point. And coming down, obviously, here to Concord and the Capital Region. But, yeah, I mean... The biking thing as well, you see everything completely different than when you're driving. You're moving slower, and you're taking in whether it's the architecture of the buildings, the age of the buildings, or just the other day, last week I was biking into work each day. And in doing so, you come across wildlife. Like, as an example, a deer was in the middle of the road. And usually if you see a deer in the middle of the road with your car, you slow down and the deer will run away because of the noise. But with this, I was able to pull right up next to the deer and wow. Kind of we stood about 6 feet apart, appropriate wow. social distance, face to face, and played chicken waiting for one to leave. And so finally the deer left, because it would be a unfortunate circumstance if I were on my bike and the deer were to charge me. That would not work out well for me. Not charge me in a malicious way, but charge me in a way that, you know, deer get, you know, as do many animals, get flustered and defensive. And as a result of that, you know, that's when bad things happen in regards to human and animal interactions. So I was a little worried about that, but it was pretty cool because I'd never really been that close to a deer before. That would have happened in a car. Probably wouldn't have happened if I was walking. But for whatever reason, there was some intrigue in regards to the bicycle, and we both kind of came face to face.
I love that story. That is like such a great story. That's like my story of the day. You were blessed with that, and I love it. That's an amazing adventure when you get that close to a deer.
That is Steve Labby joining us here on the program. He is the owner of Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. This hour of the program presented by AARP New Hampshire as well as the Concord Food Co-op. Let's talk business a little bit. And a lot of times, I'm sure, people want you to do jobs with things that they've already bought. Or like they're trying to install their toilet and they just can't do it. How often does that happen where you just have to come in and, you know, pick up the pieces for, you know, somebody that bought something themselves, or they've tried to do a project on their own and they've really, really screwed it up?
Yeah, it's funny you say. I mean, just yesterday I put in a owner-supplied lavatory faucet, which, you know, is made by Delta. And it's okay. You know, I'm not really opposed to it. What I'm opposed to is that if it leaks or if there's a problem, you know, we don't warranty our, you know, the fixtures that we don't supply. So that's always a tough thing. And just recently we did another job where, you know, we didn't supply the faucet and it's missing parts. So we're trying to help out and order the parts, but we didn't even supply the faucet. So it does become difficult, and it is a mood point. You don't want to upset the client. You don't want to upset your friends that you're working for. And there's other instances, like, you know, when people want to supply a gas appliance, you know, I don't have a warranty on it. I don't feel safe with it. I don't know where this product came from. They could have got it on Facebook or, you know, Marketplace or Craigslist, eBay, who knows, right? And the thing is that you just, there's something good about getting your product and opening up the box and knowing you've got a warranty, you've got a supply house behind you, you have technical support behind you. So that's kind of the way I would like it to happen. We don't install owner-supplied appliances. You know, we just don't. I mean, it's not a good practice. It's not safe. I have no idea where this gas equipment came from. So, you know, we find it to be too much of a liability.
No, I completely agree with that. I mean, I'd be scouring on Craigslist for a good deal, and then you're like, all right, so who's going to put this in for me? And, you know, there's certain things you just don't want to, scrimp on. And I think that appliances are one of them. You don't know, it's a product that, has liability issues, obviously. And also, is it worth the hassle of, purchasing, you know, a dishwasher for like $50 or $100, not knowing how old it is, not knowing if it's even going to work. And then having you come out and put it in, or having someone else come out and put it in, it just doesn't make any sense. If you're going to do that type of a project, and you're going to have somebody come out and do it, you don't want to have to do it twice. Right. I get sometimes when people, you know, will try to do projects on their own and they end up making mistakes, and, you know, they need somebody to come in and, you know, and try to fix the problem for them. But if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. And that's a mistake I think I've made a lot, and I think a lot of people make, particularly when you're younger and you're just trying to get by and you don't have a lot of money, and you're like, I need a dishwasher, and I don't have a lot of money to spend on a dishwasher, or whatever else in the household you might need. But, you know, it really makes sense to, if you're going to get an appliance, if you're going to get something for your home, to do it the right way so it's going to last. Because the worst thing is when you have continual problems. And yeah, the way to have continual problems is to buy a lot of things that are used or cheap, and try to scrimp by, because it's just going to end up creating more stress, more problems, and probably in a lot of circumstances more of a cost.
Yeah, sometimes it is more money. I mean, dishwashers are easy. You know, there's a drain, there's water, there's electrical. It's not as big of a deal. I really, really just don't like the whole owner-supplied gas equipment thing, because I just don't. You know, I think it's a bit of a liability. And I did put in a dishwasher and kitchen sink that was leaking. The homeowner tried to do it themselves, and they it was a Facebook actual referral. And I said, yeah, I'll help you out. And when I showed up, there's water all over the floor. And I'm like, wow, you know, like, you need this done now. And I was really only there for a quote. And then I said, hey, you know what? If you want to go run for the parts, I said, I'll start putting this all together. So you'll have, I mean, he's got two kids, and his in-laws were visiting from Massachusetts, and they're selling their place, and they're going to be moving to New Hampshire, which is another topic we can talk about, because that's happening a lot. And then we ended up putting, you know, this new drain together. He got the parts. I ended up, you know, taking it all apart and starting to put it back together when he arrived. And he even had to make a second trip out to the supply house to grab, you know, a basket strainer, because the one they had was all rusty and old too. And, you know, we thought we could, you know, maybe just tighten it up and stuff, but we just couldn't. You know, it just did not want to. And he took a chance. He's like, no, I really would like to not have to change that. I'm like, okay. But, you know, when it was all said and done, he had to go back and grab it. And I think that's the thing with plumbing. There's so many pieces and parts. And, you know, a plumber can only work so much magic with silicone and, you know, Teflon tape and paste and, you know, trying to put these things together because, you know, I worked with some Massachusetts guys when I first started in the trades, and they had a way about them. They were like, our process is anything with a thread, we pipe dope. We put thread compound on. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot. So, you know, there's certain practices that people use that they're successful with. And you know what? If you do pipe compound on everything, you don't have any problems. But the problem is that if you're a service guy and you're going to have to take that apart at some point, you go, oh, where did they use right. this? You know, and that whole, oh, man, that other plumber didn't know what he was doing.
Right. Right. I mean, it's going to stick, but it's going to stick a little bit too much for somebody to be able to fix it moving forward. That is Steve Lavie joining us here on the program. You brought up a good point in regards to relocation. And as we've talked about, COVID provided and is probably going to likely still provide an opportunity for individuals to kind of do a reset and reevaluate their lives and what they want and what they don't want. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, now that they're working from home, a lot of people kind of like it. And they're like, well, if I'm going to work from home, you know, maybe I want to work where I enjoy being. And if I can, if I only have to go into the office maybe once or twice a week, and you know I'm in working in Andover, Mass. Why do I want to live in Lawrence, Mass. When I really enjoy spending time in, you know, the Lakes region of New Hampshire? And you know, I think we have seen a lot of individuals who already have homes up here populate the area. The population, no doubt, has increased a lot during the COVID environment. And I think that, you know, the housing market would indicate that a lot of individuals are looking to move to New Hampshire at this point. Have had it with the traffic and the amount of population density in Massachusetts, and have seen this as an opportunity to make a change.
Well, I mean, you're seeing the staycations, you know, the people that want to stay at their home, they know they can't leave, so they're putting in pools and, you know, backyard barbecues and everything. If you really think about it, people are actually using New Hampshire as that same portal because they say, well, if I'm not going to leave the state now, because now it's like sometimes it's state restricted, you know, even the United States restricted some outside people from coming in and us going out. You know, so there's this confinement theory that's going on where people are like, well, if this is how it's going to be, then why don't I live in New Hampshire where I can do hunting, fishing, hiking, boating? I mean, you can't get boats. You know, all the snowmobiles are being sold up. All the four-wheelers are being sold up. You know, these trails are going to be loaded with people riding. And, you know, I saw Winnipesaukee this year when I took a drive up there. There were so many boats. I mean, it wasn't even possible to get through the channel in a timely fashion. I mean, it's just, all of this is great, okay, for maybe the economy in New Hampshire, but for the natives and people who live here, I mean, we're going to look at it and, you know, I went through COVID times and I was still fishing and there was no one on the road to, okay, it's not really as severe COVID, so now, you know, people are on the roads and I'm actually in traffic. Now it's to the point where it's like there's a lot of traffic everywhere right now. And it really is, it's mind-blowing when you think about, you know, what's happened in the last 8 months, you know, to where we are. It's just mind-boggling to me. And it's going to start to make us a little bit more like Massachusetts, where there's going to be traffic jams. It's going to be harder and harder to get through the notch. It's going to be harder and harder to deal with 93. I actually decided to fish 89. I fished off of 89 this week because I did this past weekend because I didn't want to go 93 because of Columbus Day.
Yeah, I mean the flow of, if you want to call it that, it was not a flow. The amount of traffic on 93 just throughout the course of the weekend was obscene northbound. Like it seemed there were at least a million people from Massachusetts in New Hampshire this past Columbus Day weekend. And yeah, I mean, there's going to be more proximity travel, more staycations, and this is going to be, you know, something that is going to take place really probably through the next summer as well, where individuals are not going to just jump back into travel, and people are going to want to, in my view, invest in their homes and potentially make changes to their work life and home life environment. As always, appreciate you joining us for the program.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
You as well. Steve Labby, owner of Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show is presented by ARP New Hampshire, as well as the Concord Food Co-op. And that segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. The New Hampshire Now program is proudly presented by Carter Hill Orchard. Pick your own apples at Carter Hill Orchard.